Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Isaiah, chapter 7. We'll read verse 14 together. Then we'll turn to another chapter and read two other verses. Isaiah, chapter 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Let's read this together in unison. Ready? Here we go. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now turn to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 together, and we'll read these in unison as well. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Ready? Here we go. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Father, thank you for all the things that you really are. Lord, someday that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that you are Jesus and God. Father, thank you for our church, how that our church lifts your name and we try to do your work your way. With your book, Father, you've given us a man of God. I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, and Lord, through this Christmas season, may we be able to reach out in ways that we've never been able to do before, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you again one of the verses that we used earlier while we were reading together. It says in Matthew 1:23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I've been in church work for many years. I've been around church work. It's what I do all day long, every day, 7 days a week, from the time that I get up to the time that I go to bed. I'm on the phone with churches. I'm on the phone with pastors. I enjoy the work that I do. And I'm sad to say that so many churches, pastors will tell you they can almost fall apart for 2 weeks around Christmas. And to me, that is terrible. Because you've heard me say it before. Christmas is all about Jesus. That's the worst time for a church to fall apart. Church ought to be stronger and better around his birth rather than weaker and less organized around his birth. I'm going to give you some general Christmas guidelines. I think you all know this and you'll agree with it. My sermons are not real impressive. I'm really not trying to impress anybody. I'd like us to be successful. Every year about this time, I think of what are the main issues that could cause your personal Christmas not to be what it ought to be spiritually. And I always want to come and say, now be careful of that. And I'm going to do that again. Some of you could probably preach what I'm about to preach better than I can. You just have heard that before, and I realize that. I'm a firm believer in learning is best achieved through repetition. I keep hearing something, and it better helps me to do it. And so you're not going to be amazed. My voice is not strong enough where I could preach some wild sermon tonight, but it is strong enough to just love you enough and tell you, be careful of some things around Christmas time. We just read, again, Matthew 1:23. We read Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. All three passages tell us that Jesus was God come to the earth in a body. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 tells us that virgin-born child will be called the Mighty God, and that's God with a big G. Matthew 1:23 says his name will be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 7:14 again told us that his name was going to be Emmanuel, and then in Matthew 1:23 it gave us the definition of Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so you understand, Jesus came, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I know there's a lot of excitement about him coming and being born as a virgin in that manger, and I'm excited about it as well. But I wish I could, for a moment at the introduction of this sermon, remind you, he came because he wants to be with you. You say, well, I wasn't alive when he came. I know, but had you been, he would have been coming because he wanted to be with you. But let me explain that further. He came because he wanted to die, resurrect himself to save man. Now, why did he want to save man? Because God wants to be with you. Now, that's an awesome thought. God wants to be with Jeff Owens. And God wants to be with you. He came born in a body. So what's the big deal? Why did he come down here? He wants to be close to us. He wants to be with us. He made it so we could get saved, and one day we'll get to go to heaven. And folks, when you get to heaven, there are going to be a lot of wonderful things, and I don't want to minimize any of them, but I've got news for you. When you get to heaven, the best part about heaven is going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus. We get to spend our eternity in heaven with Jesus. Brother Bush this morning, he was so wound up. He was so delighted about the Sunday school lesson. He was talking about, and I'm sure in his class, he was talking about even the judgments of God and how there comes a moment when the unsaved are going to be called up to heaven to be judged and then cast into hell. And Brother Bush said, boy, preacher, he said, you understand how bad it's going to be, because the last thing they're going to see before they're cast into hell is heaven and Jesus. See, the bad part about hell is not what's in hell. The bad part about hell is what is not in hell. You say, what's not in hell? Jesus. Jesus. You say, it's the fire. Oh, no. Jesus is so beautiful. Jesus is so wonderful. Jesus is so glamorous and gorgeous. And Jesus is, he's everything. People go to hell, they don't get to be with Jesus. But we get to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. Now, I know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all those guys are going to be there, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Say, there's going to be golden streets, I know, but they're leading me to Jesus. Say, there's never dark there. It's light all the time. I know it so we can see Jesus. I look forward to it. You think about it, Jesus wanted to be with us. He wants us to be with him. Now, his birth was all about that issue. Him making a way for us to be with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I happen to believe everything that I just said is true, which it is. I happen to believe that at this time of the year, we ought to want to be with Jesus. We ought to want to do the things that please Jesus, maybe even a little more than the other parts of the year. There's a time of the year where we look to what he has done for us. And we look to the fact that he came born in a body because he wanted to be with us. We ought not be with him less while we're celebrating that fact. We ought to probably want to be with him more. He came to be close to us. And I think it's unfair if we go into the Christmas time and in an effort of celebrating him wanting to be with us, we're wanting to be with him less. And I think that's unfair. Now, I'll get to what many of you could say, I've heard that point before, and just so you know, as long as I'm your pastor, you're probably going to hear it again year after year. Just because I want us to keep that emphasis right, let me say this. First of all, I call this some general Christmas guidelines. First of all, you hear me mention this all the time. Let's do keep Christ in Christmas. Folks, go ahead and say Merry Christmas. And I don't mean if once you say it, somebody's offended with it, you say, well, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. You don't need to do that. That's not having a good Christian attitude. But you go ahead and say Merry Christmas. We don't use Christmas decorations around here that say Xmas. We're not going to cross him out. I would recommend that all of you on Christmas Day pull the Bible out and read Luke chapter 2 and be reminded about what the whole day is all about. I'd say that's more important than all the presents. That's more important than the ham or the turkey. It's more important than the football game. If you had to cancel anything, cancel some of the fluff, but get right down to the story of Jesus. Keep Christ in Christmas. Don't let the fat man in the red suit become the hero. He's not. He's actually stolen the prime position in the minds of people in America. It's all about Jesus. So number one, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Number two, don't use this time of the year to miss church. There are actually probably people in here. You'll miss church to go shopping. So while I'm celebrating Jesus' birthday party, I'm going to promise you, Jesus would rather you show up at church than you out shopping. So if you're doing it in honor of Him, then you ought to want to do it His way. Believe it or not, there's a way to do both. You can do your shopping, and you can be in church. You can do both. Be careful as you're traveling and you're visiting your family at Christmas time that you're faithful to church. But folks, some of you have family and they need your testimony. They don't need to see you copping out of church while you're visiting. They need to see your faithfulness. Be careful missing church because of Christmas parties. That flat out does not make sense to me. A Christmas party that pulls you out of church. Jesus did not die for Christmas parties. Jesus died for the people of the New Testament church. Hey, this is a good time of the year to bring visitors. Brother Bush very wisely said earlier in making the announcements when we have the cantata, there are people that will come and they might not normally come. Bring them. I love it. At Mother's Day, you mamas do a great job. Moms are pretty slick. Mother's Day, moms will say, oh, don't give me anything for Mother's Day. Come to church with me. Boy, good idea. There are people that you can influence around Christmas time to come to church that may not come any other time. That's good for Jesus. And I know we get extra busy, but let's be careful that our extra busyness about Jesus' birthday does not get us too busy for Jesus and church. So I said, number one, keep Christ in Christmas. Number two, don't miss church. Number three, don't ignore your church duties. Nursery workers, show up when you're supposed to show up. Bus routes, let's visit. We may not visit as much, and I realize the way Christmas falls this year and the way New Year's falls, there's a holiday, and we're going to be with our families on Christmas and New Year's. I'm expecting that. But I'll tell you this, I think we ought to still be reaching people. I think we ought to still do our soul winning and do our duties. Let's not, you remember earlier, when I told you in so many churches just fall apart for about 2 weeks, all because of Christmas. I don't want our church to fall apart because of Christmas. I want our churches to hold it together, maybe even a little extra special at this time of the year. So don't ignore your church duties. And number four, please use good wisdom financially. Please use good wisdom financially. You know, there are people in this room, you're in trouble financially, and you're a good person. You're a good person. And you didn't intend to be in that trouble, but some of you take something like Christmas, you don't control yourself. So you want to go buy. And you got that credit available, and then you go out and you buy because you're a good person and you like to give, but I've got to recommend that you even control your goodness so it doesn't destroy you financially. I mean, we want to give, and we want to give people things. But folks, listen, whether you realize it or not, your credit card bill is going to land about mid-January. And then you're going to regret it. You're going to be sorry. And here's what will happen. You know what happens, Brother Bajent? Good people go out and spend a bunch of money at Christmas time because they're decent, good people. And they're saying, I want to give. I want Jesus to be pleased. And then your credit card bill will come in January. Then you'll start working all sorts of overtime, start missing Wednesday night church, Sunday night church, and some Sundays to pay off your credit card bill, all in honor of the fact that you were celebrating Jesus' birthday. And he'd say, I would have rather you not spent your money that way and missed a bunch of church. I'm just sure of it. And so be careful. I would say America in the last couple of years have toned down their Christmas gifts a little bit. And that's okay. It's okay. The greatest gift given at this time of the year was Jesus anyway. It was Jesus. And so be careful with your finances and be wise financially. Watch those credit cards. Maybe if you want to give Jesus, maybe you want to give Jesus some sort of a little financial gift. Every year we have somebody that does that. I think this, folks, I just warn you, not because I'm begging for your money. God knows in the 8+ years I've been your pastor, I don't stand up here and beg your money. But I'll tell you something, don't misappropriate your tithe at this time of the year. Don't you take your missions money and use it to celebrate the birth of Christ. Somehow, don't you think that's a bit of slap in the face for the birthday boy?
Yes, sir.
So use good wisdom financially. Number 5, I wish all of us would remember the hurting at this time of the year. In between Thanksgiving and New Year, it's a wonderful time for family, and it's a warm and it's a jubilant time. But wait a minute. If things in family and things are not right, there are certain things that maybe make this time of year hurt a little extra. Folks, there will be people in our church who will go through their very first Christmas without a particular loved one who's passed on. And it'd be good for us to remember that. You remember them. If you gather around your table and everybody's there, somebody's got an empty chair at the table. You need to remember them and love on them and pray for them. If you're here and you've had maybe a marriage in the past that's not worked out, you're not a second class citizen at our church. Not at all. But you know, sometimes when there are families that are separated or divorced, this time of year can get a little rough. Gets a little tough. And let's remember those people. And I don't mean in a judgmental way. If you're judgmental about people like that, there's nobody that ever got married that said, well, I want my marriage to fail. Nobody feels that way. They hurt and they have broken hearts. And God bless you. We love you around here and you hang in there. But they would tell you, yeah, this can be kind of a fickle time of the year. Gets a little sensitive. Gets a little touchy. And those of you that have never experienced it, well, you be careful how you handle it. Because you don't know what it's like when you got to divide the kids up for Christmas Day visitation. Until you've been through it, you don't understand it. Some of you young people that you have friends that are going through some of that, you'd be understanding. Until you've been tossed around a little bit, you don't quite understand. You see, remember the hurting at this time of the year. We have folks that have loved ones off in the military. And there are military men on foreign soil right now trying to protect the freedoms of people and protect the freedom of, I think, religion and decent government. They're risking their lives to help keep America safe. There are going to be some awful lonely soldier boys, and I think we ought to remember them. I think we ought to remember their wives and their mamas and their children. You see, while we enjoy this holiday Christmas season, there's some that will hurt a little extra. And I think our church ought to be attentive to that. Not even that. Sometimes when families don't get along, there are people in here, not because you want it. You got saved, you started living for the Lord, you got some family members that get awful tense about your serving God. And it gets a little rough during the holidays. Let's remember that. And let's help each other and let's love each other. And let's make sure that we understand that this can be a difficult time for some people. The holidays can get tough like that. So I said this, number 1, keep Christ in Christmas. Number 2, don't start missing church. Number 3, don't ignore your church duties. Number 4, use good wisdom financially. Number 5, remember the hurting at this time of the year. Number 6, let's learn how to receive well. What do you mean, preacher? Receive the gifts that come to you. Receive them right. You know, some people don't know how to receive gifts. Here's what I'd recommend. Don't want anything. That'll help you to receive well. That's the whole key. Don't want anything. That way, everything you get's a bonus. Young people, boys and girls, teenagers, you look up here at your preacher. Any gift that's given to you ought to be received, and you ought to like it. A gift is not something that you have earned. Nobody owes you anything for Christmas. Nothing. Nothing. This isn't all about you. It's all about Jesus. And for Jesus to be gracious enough to let you get something, well, you ought to be glad. But if you didn't get anything, it's really all about Jesus. So I didn't get enough gifts. What you didn't get was hell. Now, smile and say, thank God, I'm saved. But we got to learn how to receive right. Learn how to say thank you. Learn this. Learn how to help the gift giver to enjoy the gift they gave you. I'll tell you what, Mrs. Hart is one of the sweetest ladies in the world. At church staff, we try to give them little bonus here and there around Christmas time. I don't know how many turkeys. I've been the pastor here 8 years, and I've given Mrs. Hart, she's one of our employees, I've given her 8 turkeys, one a year. She can write me a 2-page letter every year thanking me for that stupid bird. I look at that bird and I think, all them dead birds look alike. They all taste alike. Been the same old bird, well, not the same one, but same thing every Thanksgiving. But somehow every one of them is still special to Mrs. Hart, and she makes me believe, and I think she truly appreciates it. Can I tell y'all something? Whatever somebody gives you, why don't you convince them you like it? Don't turn your nose up at it. Don't hurt the giver. And remember, if your attitude going into it was, I don't want anything, everything you get's a bonus, so you're ahead. Won't you be more interested in the feelings of the giver than your feelings of stinginess and covetousness? And it would help you. Let's learn how to receive. Let's learn how to receive things right. And then, of course, 7, give. I want you to give. I enjoy giving. You know, the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. I've had people here in our church, and God bless you. I've had some come to me and say, preacher, I realize there's some folks that may not have much of a Christmas. If I could help a little bit, I'd like to say, stay anonymous, and I'd like to help some people. And can you help me to figure out a way to give them a little Christmas? God bless you. And folks, there are poor people around that will not have any Christmas. There are people that are struggling to pay their bills, and they can just barely make their mortgage payment, and they probably already sit down with their kids and say, there's not going to be anything. That actually exists, so you know. It exists, and I hurt for them. And thank God for some. Every once in a while they'll come and say, preacher, here, I want to help someone to have just a little something for Christmas, and I want them to enjoy it. I think we ought to be givers. Married couples, you know, some of you men, let me tell you something. I have to tell you, about once a year, maybe twice a year, I'll have a lady come to me and just say, you know, preacher, my husband, he never gets me a birthday gift, and he never gets me a Christmas gift. Now, you might think, well, she ought not be stingy and want it. It's really not all about the gift. It's all about the care. It's the expression of love. Now, some of you lunk-headed men, get with it now. Go out and you say, I don't like to shop. Hey, no man likes to shop. Unless it's for trucks or boots or guns or good stuff, important stuff. But even if, I'm going to tell on my son Jeff. Growing up, that kid, you talk about a procrastinator at Christmas. Never wrapped gifts. He loved this gift bag concept. I mean, you can grab some gift bags and jam them in there 5 minutes before gift time. I remember one time, the guy does not like to shop. I mean, he doesn't like it. I remember one time, you know how hard it is to find Christmas gifts for your mom at 7-Eleven at midnight at Christmas? 2 bags of beef jerky. Crammed in a Christmas bag. But I'll tell you what, men, sometimes for your wife, it's not that it had to be something, some expensive piece of jewelry. And ladies, I'm not trying to hurt you here. I'm trying to help you. It didn't have to be elaborate. It's just that you cared enough to do something. And so, listen, let's be givers. I'm thinking of our tree out here for the tennises. Thank you. People are beginning to give to it. And I appreciate that. That's one of our outlets. That's how we give. And we ought to be givers. And so, I said, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Let's not miss church because of Christmas. Let's not ignore our church duties. Let's use good wisdom with our finances. Let's remember the hurting at this time of the year. Let's receive well and be concerned about the feelings of the giver. Let's make sure that we do take time to give what we can. Number 8, I want us to stay away from the bad parties at this time of the year. Christmas parties where they're boozing it up, they're rock and roll, they're country, they're dancing and all that sort of filth. We ought not be a part of that. We ought not be a part of it. New Year's is forthcoming, one of the biggest party days of the world, of the year. Now, I've made an announcement, we're not going to have a watch night service this year. I really struggled with it. I went back and forth and prayed about it. Now, that doesn't mean, I'll explain why. Those of you that don't understand a watch night service, a bunch of new people here in our church, what we do for some years on New Year's Eve, we'd all meet here at the church and we'd have a church service and bring in the new year together. We'd have fun and eat and preaching and singing and things like that. And we've done it. The Bible doesn't command it. It's something that we chose to do. It's been fun. It's been delightful. But I'll be honest, I felt like this year, I thought it'd be good that our families maybe get a little time together. We're a busy church. We're a very, very busy church. I thought, you know, I think there's some parents that need to spend some extra time with their kids. I think there's some husbands that need to spend some extra time with their wives and wives with their husbands. And I just was having a hard time justifying in my mind keeping you out another night. Now, this year, New Year and Christmas, they fall on a weekend, and we're not canceling church. I will not cancel church like this, but an extracurricular activity like a watch night service, I have the liberty of canceling it. And we may, if next time it falls on a Friday or Saturday, we may have a watch night service. But this year, for some reason, God has spoken to my heart about our not having a watch night service. Here's what I wish. I really wish a bunch of you would have a family night. I wish you'd get a bunch of decent games, plan the night, plan some popcorn and some pizza, and just enjoy yourselves and laugh with your kids, and spend some extra special time with your husband or your wife, with your family. Some people are just party animals. Just gotta be with people all the time, all the time, all the time. But I wish you'd be, I really, really wish that you'd spend the night with family and spend some time with the people that you love. Now, I'm not your dad, so I can't make you do anything. But I'd like to recommend that you don't go to any bad parties. I'm highly again recommending it become a real family night for your family. But if you don't do that, just don't go to any bad parties. You know, even there are some people, you know, in a church our size, there are some people in this church that can have a get-together and it not be the right kind. They'll be inviting people that ate our church in there. They'll be doing things that ought not to be done. Now, some of you need to be a little more particular about who you spend time with, even in your own church. You know, if you said, boy, a preacher showed up here right now, a lot of people would be uncomfortable. Why is that? Why is that? So if you're not going to spend time with your family, which is highly recommendable, spend some time together. Hey, and I'm not against, there's some people in our church here that have get-togethers and they're wonderful. I mean, they're spiritual and I'm not trying to pick on one. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm trying to tell you that since we're not going to have a watch night service, I'd be careful what you do. I'd be careful that you didn't mess somebody's life up. If you're going to have, if you do have people over, you better keep an eye on the young people. Yes, sir. You get a bunch of young people running wild while they're adults in one room. You have some kids doing things they ought not do, talking about things they should not talk about. Watch it. You get together with people that the entertainment is right. Hey, wouldn't it be tragic that? Now, the preacher thinks that we maybe not have a watch night service so people could spend some holy, spiritual, fun time with their family. So we don't have the Lord's Supper. We don't have preaching. And then you go to some Christmas party with a bunch of disloyal people that don't love God, don't love their church. Now, wouldn't that be a bad swap? But that wasn't my plan. That wouldn't be the way that I would plan it. We're going to have the Lord's Supper the very last Wednesday night of the year. And so we'll have the Lord's Supper that Wednesday night, and we'll kind of bring in the new year with that in mind. But listen, around this time, there are parties, Christmas parties, New Year's parties, and they can mess you up. So let's be very careful. And then finally, I want to tell you, if I were you, I would celebrate this Christmas as if it were your last. Celebrate it as if it were your last. Recently, I was preaching, and a man came to me, and I was preaching. I think I was down in Georgia, and a man came to me, and he said, "Brother Owens," he said, "I enjoy hearing you preach." He said, "Tonight you mentioned you preached almost 30,000 sermons," and he asked me this question. He said, "How, after having preached over 35 years, 30,000 sermons?" He said, "Brother Owens, how do you keep your intensity up?" And I told him this. I said, "I put myself through a little ritual. When I'm sitting in that chair or any chair on any platform across America, right before I step into this holy desk, I say to myself, Jeff, this may be your last shot. You better give it everything you've got. You better make sure that if this is your last one, you go out strong." Now, I don't know when we'll celebrate our last Christmas. But you know what I want to do? I want to pull my wife and my kids and my grandkids up close. I want to keep Christmas just right. I want to make sure that if this were our last, that it were done right. Because you just don't know when it's your last chance to spend this special holiday with somebody you love. Now, some who have lost loved ones in the last few years, they're going to tell you, listen to that point right there. Listen to that point right there. Isaiah 1:23 says, "His name's going to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us."